Okay, I'm gonna say this so I could just post it, and I don't have to say it again. If you got a problem with women, could you stop posting all these dumb, stupid memes about the marching? Oh, who's gonna do our dishes? Oh, it's the first quiet week we had in forever. All the women were gone. I even saw somebody post something saying, this woman got sold to sex slavery to the Iraqis, and she's not complaining. Something so ignorant and stupid. Like, why are you talking about sex slaves when these women are out here marching? They're marching for a reason. Don't you have a daughter, a mother, a sister? Have you ever gotten laid? Do you know anything about women? Do you know anything? Because they have a reason to. Bottom line, they get paid 75 cents on the dollar. That's a start. Then this incoming presidency is talking about defunding Planned Parenthood and other kind of things and health care. And these women got to get mammograms, checks, and all kinds of stuff that I ain't got to worry about. But they do. My daughter will at some point. My sisters do. Your mom does. Like, why are you complaining about what they're doing and just looking so ignorant? And then last week, and it's mostly white males. But last week, like, oh, it was Martin Luther King this, Martin Luther King that. Bitch, protest is what we fucking do. So why are you complaining? Maybe they shouldn't have protested for their rights in 1912. Maybe Martin Luther King should have protested. Maybe they should have threw the fucking tea in the water. I don't know. That's what the fucking country's built on. But you out here complaining about women complaining. You sound like a woman. So you in the same boat of the shit you complaining about. No offense, ladies. You know I love you. I love the ladies. Keep marching. Keep doing what you got to do. It's going to be a whole lot of march. It's going to be a whole lot of problems. But dudes, look at yourself. You're complaining about women complaining. You sound like the people you complaining about. It's a vicious cycle. Sit your funky ass down. Let these women do what they got to do. And maybe try to talk to a woman to find out what they got issues with. Instead of making your stupid jokes. Because you look so ignorant. I'm tired of typing. I'm going to just keep posting this funky video of me taking a nap in the middle of the day over and over and over again. I'm out.
That's right. Sit your funky ass down. That was my friend Owen J.J. Stone, a.k.a. Odakta. Find him on Twitter, on Facebook. He is an amazing person. And now into our RNS episode number 5. Enjoy. And welcome to the Rumple and Stilt Show, aka the RNS podcast, episode number 5 for Friday, the 27th of January, 2017. And I am Stacey Baldwin, and I'm joined here with my co-host, Reese Dunlap. Hey, Reese, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
Hi. So we have a very exciting episode this week, something that I have wanted to talk about for a long time, something that I am passionate about. And so is Reese. We are going to be talking about, in light of recent events with the Women's March and with our president, our newly appointed president, we are going to be talking about feminism today. And it's not going to be the average feminism talk. I'm just going to point that out there right now. This is not going to be a pro-women and bashing men talk.
I was going to get into it once you get into it. This is a feminism discussion. This isn't a feminazi discussion, but we'll
correct.
Talk more about that.
You know? Correct. Exactly. So, I'm just going to roll into it. So my thoughts on feminism, and you kind of pointed it out, there's a difference between feminism and feminazis is what a lot of people will refer to them as.
Good point. Phrase.
Yeah. And I don't mind using that term for them because honestly, I think that they give women like me a bad name. And the reason why is the only reason why feminism is called feminism is because we live undoubtedly, and I don't think that anyone will disagree that we live in a patriarchal society. We live in a society where the most powerful people in the world are male. Now, that is not to say that every man has a better life than every woman. That is not the case at all. However, if you look at people who hold power in this country, in this world, they are overwhelmingly male.
Yes. Nine to one out of ten, you know.
It is debatable on as far as wage is concerned, women earning 75 cents on the dollar to men, but I mean it is a statistic and there is a reason behind that, whether or not that's sexism or not, that can be discussed. But I think that there's an underlying thing that people don't really talk about. And that is the nuances, the subtlety of sexism.
Yes.
With racism, with homophobia, with other forms of bigotry, you get these big blinking signs of this is racism, this is homophobia, this is bigotry. And so you get hate groups, you get people who are doing things that are drastically using the N-word, using the F-word, things that are drastically bigotrous.
A very blatant display.
Exactly. Yes. Whereas with feminism, it's all of those little things, all of those daily things that happen to a woman that are almost subliminal, that get ingrained into our personalities, and so that we often don't even notice it very often. And you can ask, and most people, and I'll ask you, and I've asked this question before, with your experience with racism, which, by the way, we'll get into that discussion next week. It's going to be a back-to-back sort of discussion with bigotry. But when just comparing racism to sexism, for the moments in your life where you've experienced racism, how many times has it been that big blinking, this is racism? Or has it been little acts, little things that chip away at your sense of self, at your sense of worth on a daily or weekly or just the little stuff?
Yeah, it's been more, in any of my instances, it's been more of a subliminal thing. And I think that speaks a lot to the fact that those that were involved in the situation with me, you know, no one wants to think they're wrong. You know, people have their idea in their mind of their morals and their scruples of what they stand and what they believe in. So when I've been dealt with racism, it's always been a very subliminal thing. I've dealt with very blatant and ignorant direct racism as well. But
sure.
In a comparison, mostly it's snuck in. It's you know, it's slipped in.
Right.
It's either a snarky backhanded comment, or sometimes people don't even realize that they are, and it comes out that way. It's usually subliminal.
Yeah, and that's something that is mostly the experience with sexism, is that you are, you know, you're treated almost like an adult child.
Yeah.
That you can't make your own decisions, that you're not responsible enough to make decisions about your own body, about your life choices, about your sexuality, about how often you can have sex or who you can have sex with. There's about what race of person that you can have sex with. If you have sex with a black guy more than twice in your life, it's all of a sudden a fucking fetish. Like,
yeah, you know. Mm-hmm.
So all of these things that other people are choosing for us that are these subliminal messages that you should not be in control of your own life, that mm-hmm. that you need a man to take care of you. And so that is sort of the discussion. Now, that's not to say that men don't have their own issues. There are major issues as far as the judicial system with men. There are major issues as far as child support and custody is concerned. There are major issues as far as masculinity in our society, the expectations of masculinity. So there's definitely things that men deal with that women do not need to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
However, those are things that are very specific and they can be fixed individually. Whereas if sexism against women is a more systemic issue, because it is something that we've all been raised with, and it's something that has gone on, and our society has been built on sexism.
That's one thing that I've always seen with, like, sexism, like, just like you said, it's just been ingrained in our society, like, the way
Victorian era. I mean, you can go back in time. I mean, there has never been, and here's another thing, there's never been a better time for women, especially in this country, than now. However, that's not to say that it's good.
No.
There's never been a better time, but that's not to say that it's good. And so you know, you go back in history, and women have always been second class citizens in our culture, in the culture that we've developed from. So it's ingrained into all of us.
I mean, a little thing that people don't even realize, you know, the back, one side racism, one side sexism, blacks were allowed to vote before females were allowed to vote in the United States, you know, and that's, you know, so a lot of people don't even realize that, like, especially imagine being a black woman, you know, like, that's a double whammy when it comes to how society has set them back
absolutely.
Pushed them to the wayside. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's because of the fact that it's not always necessarily, like I was saying, those big blinking signs of sexism, you know, we aren't beaten on. And now there are, of course, there are parts of the world where women are beaten, where women are circumcised, where women are mutilated, and so we have it great in this country compared to other areas of the world. However, that doesn't take away from those little chipping away at your soul, those little things that happen on a daily basis that make you think that you are less. And it's not something that's conscious. It's not something that you can point a finger at. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get into, before we get into our vocabulary discussion, we'll just call it that. I do want to get some feedback. So Reese, you had gotten some feedback, actually it wasn't even feedback. It was a post that Crunchy had written on her Facebook that we thought was really good, and we wanted to include a little bit of it. So do you want to get some of that maybe in?
I want to go through a little bit of what Crunchy had to say, and now what she focused more so with her post was birth control, and how, you know, with everything that's going on with Planned Parenthood and the defunding of everything, and it's a little thing that people don't realize how important birth control and Planned Parenthood, the things that they do for women across the board, it's so much bigger, it's so much broader than just abortion. Because, you know, when someone hears the word Planned Parenthood, it's the first thing they think, and then they run, like, pro-life or pro-choice, and, you know, it becomes this big thing. There's so much more that Planned Parenthood and what medicines, like birth control medicines, can do for individuals that go so farther beyond just the pro-life, pro-choice conversation. And that's a lot what Crunchy was getting at with their message. And, you know, it's a shame because, like, you know, a medical prescription, a surgery, or occasionally necessity, and saying birth control shouldn't be covered by insurance because it's a want and not a need, that is, and I agree with her.
Absolute bullshit.
Complete bullshit. You know, because, you know, a birth control, when you talk about it, we can't, it's a choice or not. Of course, having sex is a choice. But I know from previous girlfriends that I've had with birth control, they, and as Crunchy as well, were using these to regulate their bodies and regulate the systems of their body to stay healthy.
Myself included. I get, and this is going to be a discussion, and it's a private discussion, but because of this debate, all of the sudden, all of these things are all of a sudden becoming public, and I need to talk about how the fact that I get terrible fucking cramps every single month because of my period, and birth control helps that. If you have cysts, there's a bunch of medical reasons where you need to take birth control. And so someone It is definitely a need for some women. And also, it's something where if you're going to have sex, everyone's going to have sex.
Yes.
What is the huge deal about being responsible about it and not putting women in a situation where they're bringing babies into the world where that they can't take care of? And we'll get into abortion in a little bit too. But it's I personally believe that our society needs to put more focus on raising children and not just having them.
Having them, yes.
That there is way too much focus on the fetus before it's fucking born. And there's zero focus on the child who is results and needs to live in an unwanted, uncaring, unloving environment where they are abused or neglected, or they are put up for adoption or put into foster care, or are raised in a low income, high crime area. And so and that's what creates these cycles, and that's what creates all of these issues. And there's a reason why when Roe versus Wade was passed 20 years ago, the crime rate went significantly down, because all of these children that would have been raised in terrible, terrible situations were never born. And so they never got the chance to commit crimes and to make the world a worse place. So, and it's not the child's fault. Of course it's not the child's fault. But why are you going to punish it by having it and making it suffer through a life that it doesn't need to suffer through?
Yeah, and you know, and like you said, that's something we can get into, because that's getting a lot into the whole pro-life, pro-choice discussion. Yep. But no one should be... I'm just going to put it out there like this. A woman's body is a woman's body, and they should be able to decide whether or not what it is they want to do with it. And I personally believe that... you know, there's situations where abortion is sometimes it's a choice that is a hard, you know, extremely difficult choice. But sometimes it's almost a necessity. Like, you know, I've had friends that were, I had friends that were raped and got pregnant because of which. Now, what do you say to that person? You know, and she was about 18 or 19, but what happens when it's just a child, like 15, 16-year-old girl, living in a low-income scenario? Now we bring this life into the world to suffer all these needs. You know, it's a very hard topic. You know, we could spend an hour-long episode just talking about that within itself. But things like that could have been stopped or could have been avoided with something as simple as insurance covering birth control.
Like, absolutely.
And, you know, Crunchy says in her post, you know, we're not asking for it to cover, like, you know, condoms or anything like that. You know, that obviously things of that nature shouldn't be weighed upon.
Because that's a spur of the moment decision. But a birth control is something where it is a long-term decision. You are being responsible ahead of time. And so why is Viagra covered? So your right to get a hard-on is more of a right than my right to not have a baby if I can't take care of one? Are you fucking kidding me?
Is that a fact?
Viagra is covered by insurance. Yes.
That's ridiculous.
Yep. Yep. So your ability to get a hard-on is more important than my ability to not have a child that I can't take care of.
That's a fucking shame what that is. I didn't even know that. And I'm disgusted even more so about this whole situation knowing that.
Oh, doctor says he needs his blue pill. Well, I need my yellow or white pill, or depending on what.
Whatever.
But yeah, so I don't understand. And that's one thing that we can, that, you know, where women are placed in this second class citizen position where their bodies are not their own, that they are public property. And so getting into viewing women as public property, as not fully adult or
not, again, not to, a full class citizen.
Like exactly.
A second class citizen.
So I love the word cunt. C-U-N-T. I fucking love the word cunt. And I'm going to tell you why. The word cunt is a part of my anatomy. It's a part of my body. It yes. describes a part of my body that I'm not ashamed of. I have a cunt. I am not ashamed to say that. You have a dick. If somebody calls you a dick, it's funny. If somebody calls me a cunt, I'm supposed to get extremely offended. Why? Because that word is never used. Because it's reserved. Because women are supposed to be dainty and protected and sheltered. And so we don't use that word for women. No. Absolutely. I don't want that word to have that kind of power over me. The power that I have in that situation is the power to refuse to be offended by that word. If someone calls me a whore or a slut, I am way more offended than if someone calls me a cunt. Because the word cunt...
At that point, they're talking about your person, you know, your personality. Calling you a whore or a slut, that's speaking to your attributes. To be called a cunt is like, you called me a vagina? Like, you called
Right. Well, how is that a bad thing? How is that a bad thing? I don't understand. And also, specifically, there is a male equivalent of the word cunt, which is the word dick. It's the same thing. We can use them interchangeably. Mm-hmm. There is no male equivalent of the word slut or whore. You can say man whore, but that's just throwing the word man in front of a word that's used for a woman. Yeah, there is no equivalent.
Yeah, talking about equality when it comes to feminism, stuff like that, a guy comes into a room and is like, man, I had sex with 5 different women over the last month. High fives. Yeah, buddy, yeah. Good dude. Girl walks in the room and is like, I've had sex with 5 different guys over the last month. Whore, slut, keep your legs closed.
Like, yeah.
It's disgusting. It really is.
And until there's an equivalent of those words in our language, I refuse to be offended by the word cunt. The word cunt is nothing in comparison to the word slut and whore. And until our daughters are not raised under this cloud of you need to be pure, you need to keep your legs closed, you need to not show any sort of sexual interest at all, and yet still be inundated with nothing but sexualized images of women.
Oh, yes.
Do you have any idea how confusing that is for a child? That is something where if you're told, well, you need to wait until the third date before you kiss or sleep. You know, there's all these rules growing up, and women always need to be the ones that are the goalies, that are the ones that are being chased and not the ones that are chasing. And they are the ones that aren't allowed to show that they might be sexually interested or sexually active. If they have a high sex drive, then they're a whore. But if a guy has a high sex drive, he's a stud. And so women are not allowed to own their sexuality in the way that men can. And so until that day comes, I refuse to be offended by the word cunt, because that's my empowerment in that situation. If you call me a cunt, I will let it. Yes, I do have one of those. Next. Next.
Yes.
Call me a whore and see what happens. I will hopefully see a day in my lifetime where there's a little bit less of daughters being told that they need to keep their legs closed, and yet seeing nothing but their idols being sexualized and being nothing but objects.
Yeah, that's the issue with it. It's the sexualization of everything, and that creates the stigma. And it's like we've said, it is
because you can be one of two things. You can either be a whole person who has ideas and is intelligent and has a personality of her own, who has no sexual thought, no sexual opinions, is pure, or
it makes me laugh just even thinking about it, but continue, please.
Yeah. Or you can be a sex symbol and a model and a body, and that is it. And no brain, and no, you are not a complete human being. You are pussy, ass, and tits, and that's it. And so you can choose. Those are your two paths as a woman. You can either have a brain and have a personality, or you can be sexual. And those are your choices. So you can't be both.
And there's no middle ground. And then if you choose to be on the ladder, then you're going to become a social pariah and looked down upon. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, strippers are looked on as
sex workers in general. Yeah. Yes.
As like these terrible, awful people. I'll tell you what, one of my good friends that I went to high school with started stripping right out of high school. And by the time she was 24, she had raised up enough money to buy a house in cash. In cash.
Yeah.
And she now is married with 3 kids and doesn't need to work because they don't have a mortgage. So, hey, I mean, and you're right. And so if stripping, if the sex worker industry was seen as a little bit more of a positive, that story might be a little bit more common, and people might not need to use drugs in order to suppress whatever issues that they have working in that industry. So I think that this has been a good discussion. This is something we could talk on, and if you guys want after our after show, if you guys want to stay on with us and sort of chat a little bit more, we'll definitely hang out and talk about a little bit more about this. I definitely want to delve a little bit more into this. If you have never caught us live and you are watching afterward, you can always catch us live. We try and do a little bit of an after show when we're done. We are also streaming to Twitch for the first time today. So if you'd like to also catch us live on Twitch, the URL for that is twitch.tv/RS_podcast. And so you can follow us on there, and then you'd be able to be notified when we're going live. And so other than that, you can follow us. You can go to diamondclub.tv. Fridays at 8 p.m. is when we go live, both to Twitch and to Diamond Club. Or you can catch us on all of the podcatchers that that we broadcast to, which is pretty much all of them at this point. So
we're everywhere. We just grow from everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Alrighty. So before we get into the after show, let's just real quick, Reese, where can people find you on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitter at Darth Gorilla. That's DarthGurilla. You can also find me just on Facebook. I do a lot of my posting right through there. So just go to facebook.com/Reese.Dunlap. And I also manage a blog. So if you want to come by and see some of my thoughts, it's gitmoarmy.blogspot.com. It's gitmoarmy.blogspot.com. So please stop on by and look at my dumb bullshit raining about the most irrelevant nonsense in the world. Stacey B, where can we find you, girl?
Alrighty. So you can always find me on Twitter. My handle is at StaceyB23. So that's StaceyBee23. You can also find me on my website, which is aptly named StaceyBaldwin.com because I'm super creative. And on there you can find all of my stuff that I do. I've been lagging on updating posts on there because I've been busy with RNS, the last post that I have on there is episode 2. I need to get on that. Sorry, guys. But you can follow me on there. You can find all of my social media. You can read a little bit about me. You can contact me through there. So please visit my website. You can also visit our joint website, which is rspodcast.net. That is updated with all of our episodes. And you can also contact us through there. There's a contact page there. If you fill out the form, you can email both of us simultaneously, or if you want to email us, one of us individually, you can do so through there as well. You can see all of our videos. So if you listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher or one of those other, if you'd like to see videos, there's videos posted on there as well. So yes, please go to rspodcast.net if you'd like to learn more. So thank you guys so much. And this has been a great discussion. And hopefully we will see you next week.
Yeah, man. Life's too short to be normal. Remember, kids, always stay weird.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.